the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. You know, your most important asset, in addition to your house, for most people, is your pension plan. But ironically, most Americans pay very, very little attention to managing their 401ks or other plans. And that, believe it or not, is where the bulk of the nation's wealth is stored. Recently, retirement assets have surpassed the $25 trillion mark. As of June this year, there are over $5 trillion in 401k plans, almost $1 trillion in 403b plans, $300 billion in 457 plans, and $500 billion in government thrift savings plans. With all of that wealth there and all of that money invested in these plans, you would think Americans would spend more time managing and planning them.
It really is, John, a very unfortunate fact, because there's two things that are happening. Number one, we live in an era of high taxes. Most working families today, husband and wife working, if you're making six figures, by the time, if you live in a state like California, you add Social Security taxes, federal taxes, state taxes, they take a good chunk of your paycheck. And so, you know, it's really important if you can put money aside, you get a tax deduction for it. It comes off the top. You don't have to pay taxes on it. And also that money compounds for as long as it remains in the plan until you draw it down when you retire. The unfortunate thing today is individuals are not maximizing their contribution, if any. They have increased the limits on which you can put money in 401k plans. They've also added a special catch-up provision that allows for additional contributions once you turn age 50. And not to mention the fact that a lot of individuals that work at company plans, especially big companies, they have matching contributions. The typical thing that we see in larger companies, they'll match your contributions up to 6% of your salary. So think of it this way. You put a dollar in, the company matches you a dollar, you just made 100% on your dollar of contribution. So imagine putting that money aside over a period of time where you have that money compound at a good rate of return. Secondly, you're not paying taxes. And third, it's being matched by your employer. So they're not maximizing it. And the other tragedy that we see, unfortunately, and it's been devastating for a lot of people that have retired within the last decade, is they're not managing their assets properly. I mean, obviously, if you are, I don't know, let's say you're out of college, you're 25 years old, you're starting out contributing to a plan, obviously, you can ride out a bear market. In fact, actually, you want a bear market if you are contributing over a longer period of time, because if you're putting money into your plan every single month, what you're doing is your dollar cost averaging. So let's say at the beginning of the year, the shares that you're buying are $10 a share, and over the next 2 years, the stock market loses 50 to 60% of its value, so the shares drop down to $4 or $5 a share. Well, think of every single month, you're buying more shares with every contribution you make. Now, that works great if you're 25, 35, or maybe 45. It does not work out for your benefit if you're 50, 55, 60, or 65. So the real issue here, John, is not only are individuals not maximizing their contributions to their plan, but once they get the money in the plan, they don't manage it. Usually you sign up for a company and let's say you're going to start out in their 401k plan, or maybe you're a teacher, it's a 403b, or you're working with the government's 457. They usually set up an allocation, then it's usually just left on automatic pilot.
Jimmy and I was talking to someone recently about their 401k plans, and they were sort of asking, well, what do I do about this? And I said, well, what's in the plan? Oh, well, I don't know. And it could be that, number one, they think it's beyond them, you know, looking at what is actually in the plan, or B, they're just busy and it's over there and they figure it's piling up and it's doing okay on its own, on autopilot.
Yeah, it was funny because a number of years ago, I had a client who had a very sizable 401k plan. And to his lament, he said, you know, this could have been a lot better. And I said, well, what did you do in 2007, 2008, or 2009? How'd you handle the bear market? He said, the way I handled the bear market is I refused to look at my statements. So, I mean, that's not a good plan, folks. So the biggest issue here, and you find this more so with, let's say, smaller company plans, smaller businesses. They put together plans and there's just not enough choices. On the other hand, you work for a Fortune 500 company, S&P 500 company, you probably have more choices and you know what to do. So it's not just that you're not maximizing the plan, the assets aren't really being managed. Typically, if somebody goes to work for a company, they sign up with the HR department, you sign up in the 401k, you pick an asset allocation mix at the time, and you pretty much, it goes an automatic pilot. Every time you get a paycheck, the same money goes into same funds, and a lot of people just don't know how to manage. They don't know how to call the fund administrator. They don't make the choices sometimes. And you don't find this as much anymore, and it depends on who you're with, is that, you know, you can only make choices maybe once a quarter, which is really not good if you're in a bear market. So you want to have a plan that's more flexible because, I mean, when a bear market hits, it could be a big event. It could be something like the bankruptcy of Lehman in September of 2008 that just triggered a huge sell-off in the market. Well, you don't want to be in the plan that says, hey, you can only make your changes at the end of the quarter. So a lot of these plans simply are just put on automatic pilot because of, number one, the inability to make frequent changes, or, as you mentioned, John, pretty much people forget about it. It's kind of like set and forget. That is okay. As I mentioned, if you're in your 20s, 30s, or 40s, you can ride out a two-year bear market because during that downturn, you're dollar cost averaging, you're buying more shares with every dollar that you contribute at every paycheck. But once you get into your 50s, and once you get into your 60s, it could be very devastating, as the last bear market was on so many. I think it was last week on the program with John Kosar, who mentioned that he's met individuals who are still suffering from the shocks of the 2007-2009 bear market, when the stock market lost close to 60% of its value. And unfortunately, it hit a lot of people as they were just short of entering into retirement. So once again, one of the things that you want to be doing is actively managing those assets when you're in your 50s and 60s, because you cannot afford to go through another major downturn. And I can tell you, sometime, I don't know if the next 12 months, 18 months, or the next 24 months, we're going to have another bear market. And do you really want to have all of your assets outside of your home tied up in a 401k plan and go through another 40, 50, or 60% downturn in the market?
Yeah, the interesting thing here, too, is that most people don't seem to recognize the devastation that bear markets cause. They tend to come out of the blue because people are not expecting the rollover and downplay, and so they catch people by surprise. And also, bear markets go down about twice as fast as bull markets go up. And so by the time people suddenly wake up, there's a lot of damage already been done.
Well, sure. And of course, everybody can think back to the tech bubble that was building up. It wasn't until after the events of 9/11 that you even had the financial media admit that we were in a bear market, because people thought back then with the evolution in technology, the internet, that, hey, we had superseded business cycles and bear markets. And it wasn't until 2001 that they even admitted we were in a bear market. Unfortunately, between the market's peak in the year March of 2000, when the S&P hit 1553, 2 years later, it dropped down to 768. John, that was a drop of 51%. Got even worse because the market went up for another 5 years. And then, of course, in the fall of 2007, the market peaks once again at 1576. But by March of 2009, we got down to that infamous 666 number, a drop of 58%. Within one decade, you saw two drops of over 50%. So, I mean, imagine this. Imagine if you are turning age 55 in the year 2000. Your assets went nowhere, and you're close to retirement now. And we could be heading I hate to say it, for the in the next 12, 18, or 24 months. I don't know when it's going to be. Some people say we're equivalent to where we were in 98. Other people say we're close to where we were in 1999. But imagine if you were 50 in the year 2000. In the next 13 years, you saw your assets go nowhere. And now, it's 2017. You're now age 65 or age 67. You've experienced two bear market drops of over 50%. Think of the devastation that that has caused and how that has altered the impact of when you can retire and how you're going to be able to live when you retire.
You know, and you've seen a lot of this happen to just so many boomers, Jim. They're having to work longer because they don't have the assets to retire. Those who do retire, we talk about sequence risk and also what this sort of does to someone who retires and then discovers they don't have enough assets to completely retire.
Well, this caught a lot of people by surprise because, I mean, you take a look at 1981, the stock market went up and we didn't have a recession to 1991. We went another 10 years and then we had a recession in the year 2001. And here we are. We're 9 years into this business recovery. And then maybe, you know, we go 10 years or 11 years before we have the next recession and bear market. But you don't want to go through this when you retire and lose 40 to 50% of your assets. It's at the beginning of your retirement. I mean, once again, going back to the example of the year 2000, it would take 13 years for the S&P 500 to exceed the value it reached in March of 2000. So look at it this way. The first 13 years of your retirement, if you retired in the year 2000, you earned actually nothing. And to make matters worse, interest rates dropped as well. And so that's why it's not only important to manage your 401k and the assets in it, because for most of you in the private sector, it's going to be the largest asset that you have. Now, if you work for the government, you generally tend to get a pension, although governments now put in thrift savings plans and 457 plans. And if you're a teacher, you have a 403b. But John, it's amazing that you know, when you see the stock market, what happened over the last 17 years, not only did you have two bear markets, two within a 10-year time span, but also interest rates dropped. Like in the year 2000, the stock market dropped 50% and interest rates dropped down to 1%. Fast forward, the market went up for the next 5 years. People thought they were okay. But then between 2007 and 2009, the market loses 58%. And this time, interest rates go down to zero. It would take another 4 years to break even. After 2009, you would have to go to the summer of 2013 before you were back to breaking even again. But unlike the previous cycle where the Fed raised, Greenspan raised interest rates to 5% by 2007, interest rates this time remained in that 2 to 3% range where they remain today with the 10-year note closer to 2% than it is closer to 3. So it becomes a problem. Once again, the example of being age, let's say you turned age 65 in the year 2000. How would you like to be turning age 65 in the next bear market? And let's put it this way. If you were age 65 in the year 2000, now you are age 78, and 13 of those years of retirement, your assets went nowhere and interest rates fell by almost 80%. So it's basically, once again, something that you need to take seriously, because we see this so often with clients that walk into our office. Their biggest asset outside, let's say, the equity they have in their home, for many individuals is the money they put aside in their pension plan. And in the private sector, for most people, it's going to be a 401k plan.
This isn't really as strong an issue either if you're starting out early and you're putting away money at age 25, for example. You've got, what, 40 years of a working career, even if you're into your 30s there. But as you slide, I slid into my 40s, I just want you to know that.
Oh, okay.
As you slide into your 40s and then 50s and 60s, it becomes more critical and more of an issue. And a lot of people just set up their 401ks, push the autopilot, and then assume everything's okay as the years roll by.
Yeah, that's really a big issue that we see with a lot of individuals. You know, you don't think about it. The years just kind of creep up on you. You know, you're in your 40s. Next thing you know, you're in your 50s. And, you know, improper diversification is another issue that we see, because you should be managing your money different. Once you start getting into your 50s, it should be more diversified, but also more conservative. You know, what you're doing at age 50, 55, the older you get, the more conservative it should be, because you don't want to go through a major drawdown, as happened to so many people between 2007 and 9, and also 2000 and 2002.
Okay, well, managing assets is an important issue, but there are other important issues. A lot of people are not taking advantage of the opportunity to put money away during their earning years in a lot of these plans.
One of the issues that we see, and this comes up in just about every retirement survey, is people are not maximizing their contributions. I mean, for a 401k plan, you can put away $18,000, and if you're age 50, there's a catch-up provision of $6,000, which means you can put away $24,000. And think of what that does for your income tax. For most individuals in the state of California, you're probably in the 28% federal to 30% federal bracket, add 10% for state. I mean, that's 40%. I mean, if you could afford to put away $24,000, I mean, you take 40% of that, you're saving almost $10,000 just in federal and state taxes. So even though you're putting away 24, you're really only putting away 14, because the government and what you're saving in taxes is making up the other 10. And this really starts to add up. What is really devastating, and when you think about many employers, especially the larger companies, have matching contributions. Typical large employers will match up to 6% of your salary and contributions. And so, you know, think about this. You put a dollar in and your employer matches you a dollar, you just got 100% return on that dollar you put in. Some of the largest 401ks that we've seen are clients who have maximized their contributions, and especially taking advantage of employer contributions. Let me just give you an example. Suppose that you're age 50 now and you want to retire at age 65, and you're able to put $1,000 a month into a 401k plan, and your employer matches it with $1,000 a month. In 15 years, you're going to have $700,000. And that's a 6% rate of return. If you get higher rates of return because you manage it effectively in terms of, like, let's say an 8% return or a 10% return, you could have over $1 million. So another issue that comes up, and this is more an issue that you see in smaller company plans. Number one, they don't have enough funds to diversify, especially during bear markets. You know, they might have like a standard S&P index fund, a growth fund, mid-cap fund, small-cap fund. Maybe they have two bond funds and a money market fund. So that's one issue you see with the smaller plan. The other issue that you see is these smaller plans are usually very high expenses, very high expense ratios on the funds that are used, or even high commissions. And the last thing you want to be doing is paying high commissions or high expenses, because that subtracts from your rate of return. Large company plans, John, probably the biggest issue that I think individuals have to deal with is you probably have more choices, and of course you have less expenses, but also it's choosing the right sectors, the right plans, the right kind of diversification. And most people, I would say, are complacent. You know, you join the company, you join the plan, you set it up, you got to choose the funds that you're in. And I've seen plans where people have had the same allocation they had 10, 20 years, and they've been working for the company, and they never changed, whether it was a bear market or bull market. And the result is two things are going to happen. If you don't manage it, or you don't manage it properly, you're going to have less assets at retirement. And even worse, you could lose those assets when you retire due to something we call sequence risk. The last thing you want to do is turn age 65, 66, 67, whatever year it is that you retire, you roll your assets over into an IRA, you put together your pie chart allocation that most people tend to do, and guess what? The business cycle changes. You know, what you should be doing at age 65 and 66 and how you should be diversified is a heck of a lot different than what you should be doing at age 30, 40, or 50.
And there are a couple of points here that are really important because it's obvious. This is, I'm going to say the obvious here. The earlier you start, the more money you will have at retirement. That's the magic of compounding interest and investment. Okay. But the more effectively you can manage assets, if you're doing that, you can avoid being severely impacted by the major downdrafts like we had in 2000 and 2007, where some people lost 50 to 60% of their assets.
And it's not just that, John. I mean, you think of somebody that starts out of college, age 25, 35, whenever it is that you start to effectively put money away in your 401k plans, if you can manage your money or have it managed for you effectively, your rate of return is going to be higher. And I'm just going to give you an example. Let's say you get paid every week and you're putting $100 a week into a 401k plan. So you're putting $400 a month. Now I'm going to give you some examples here, but it's really going to dramatize this point. And I'm going to take a 10-year period, 20-year, 30-year, and 40-year period. And let's take three rates of return, 6%, 8%, and 10%. So let's take a person that starts to put money away over a 10-year period. They put that $400 a month into a plan. At the end of 10 years, at 6%, they have $66,000. At 8%, they have $74,000. And at 10%, they have $83,000. Now, let's take somebody that does this over 20 years. At 6%, it's $186,000. At 8%, it's $237,000. And at 10 years, it's $306,000. Now, here's where it really starts to drive this point home. Over a 40-year working career, the difference between a 6% return on your assets and an 8 and 10% return on your assets, at 6%, you have $800,000 at the end of 40 years. At 10%, you have $2.6 million. Now, think of the difference of those two numbers, $800,000 versus $2.6 million. And you can get those rate of returns if you can avoid the downdrafts that occur in bear markets when you tend to lose anywhere from 40 to 60% of your assets in a bear market. And the longer the time, the better it is managed, the more difference or the major difference you're going to have when you retire. Once again, think about that. $800,000 or $2.6. Think about what a $2.6 million retirement package would buy you that an $800,000 retirement package wouldn't. So there are a number of issues here, John, and that is people are not managing their largest asset. I'm always amazed. People will spend more time planning a vacation than they will planning for their own retirement. And a lot of the cases that we see are set and forget. And this is very easy to do towards the end of a bull market when the stock market has been going up just about every single year, as it has for 9 years. You think, well, you know what the heck? I don't need to pay attention because the market's been going up. That's just about the time you really need to start paying attention, because this has been going on now for about 8 or 9 years, and maybe we'll get 10 years out of this bull market. Maybe we'll get 11. I don't know. We got 10 years in the 80s and we got 10 years in the 90s. That did not happen in the last decade, where we had two bear markets that were devastating, over 50% downturns in each of those bear markets.
Well, we have a couple of lessons here. Just remember, keep this in mind as I point out these items. Number one, your 401k or whatever pension plan you have, other than your house, is going to be your single most valuable asset, and it's the one that will help you get through retirement. Don't forget, if you're not in a government plan, you don't have a guaranteed pension like government. So this is it, and you have to manage this, because this and your Social Security income will be your retirement income. The earlier you start, the better, and so maximize your contributions into it. You must manage your assets, especially if you're 50 years or older. You just can't set and forget. And if you are beginning retirement or in retirement, avoid sequence risk and make sure that you're diversified and protected against the next bear market. And Jim, you deal with your clients' 401k plans all the time. What would you say some of the biggest problems that you run into?
Well, I would say there's two particular problems. On smaller plans, I would say, you know, if you're working for a small company or you're an entrepreneur and you start a business and you have a small plan, the small plans are too expensive and too few choices. They tend to be heavily loaded with expenses and fees. That's typically what we see in small plans. And I would say in large plans, it's almost the reverse, is there are practically so many choices. Most people just get confused by the choices, but they're not managed effectively for the business cycle and also for age. And I would say managing your 401k plan to, let's say, take advantage of a business cycle or a particular age. And I would say that's universal, whether it's a small company plan or a large company plan.
So in the light of the fact that a person's 401k plan is their basic asset planning for retirement, what do you do for your clients?
We do a number of things. Number one, if you are a small company, mid-sized company, we set up actually 401k plans. We set them up so there's no commissions, there's no expenses. You have the flexibility to move in and out as the business cycle changes, and you're not restricted. So, you know, that's one of the things that we do is we set up 401k plans. Now, for individuals that usually work for large companies, we act as consultants on your 401k, where we actually, we know exactly what your plan is. We know the choices that you have. We also know the flexibility you have. Some big plans, I would say we're seeing less and less of this, where, you know, sometimes back in the old days, you could only make switches in your plan quarterly. But after two bear markets, a lot of companies have changed their 401k plans. But usually we work with individuals. We know the funds that they have. And as the business cycle changes or their age changes or they get closer to retirement or we're getting closer to a recession, we make changes, we make directives to them that they can change in their plan. So we act as a consultant, but we're doing a lot more 401k plan, especially for small businesses, because, you know, folks, when you can avoid paying commissions and you can bring your expense ratios down, it makes a difference. It's just like I gave the example of the difference between a 6% return, an 8% return, and a 10% return. It's not just managing the money effectively. It's also making sure that that money is managed effectively in terms of cost. And so this is one of the things that we're doing, John, is we are working more closely with entrepreneurs now to set up more effective and flexible 401k plans.
Okay, it's time for our real life case study here. Remember that as we go into this, this is a hypothetical illustration based on real life examples. Names and circumstances have been changed, and we do have slides online at financialsense.com to illustrate the points Jim is making.
This week is the case of Timothy Newman. He is age 63. Unfortunately, Tim is going to be forced into early retirement as a result of health issues. His life expectancy is age 78. His risk tolerance is moderate. And like most people retired, he wants income and capital preservation. But Tim's real issue is Tim is an attorney. He spent the latter half of his career as a very successful attorney. But unfortunately, he had some major health issues in recent years that made his job very stressful and difficult. He was diagnosed with diabetes and recently suffered a stroke. As a result, due to his health, his doctor, friends, and family are suggesting that it's time for him to retire. Now, given the health condition and family history, Tim has a relatively short life expectancy. He's age 63. His life expectancy is 78. He would like to travel and experience many of the things. I mean, anybody that has had a heart attack or a stroke or something like that, and one of the reasons we cover diet issues, a lot of these issues, whether it's heart disease, stroke, diabetes, can be handled very successfully. And you can live a normal life expectancy with proper diet and de-stressing. I hope to have the author of The Blue Zones. He's got another book out on creating blue zones in this country right now. He's doing it in 20 cities. But anyway, in Tim's case, it was strongly suggested that he retired. There was just too much stress and hours on the job. And basically, Tim's doctor said, look, if you don't retire, you know, your lifespan is going to be even much shorter. You could have another stroke. And so in this case, early retirement retirement was what was suggested. And in terms of his portfolio, his risk score on a scale of 1 to 10 was 5. And it was pretty much matched because we were managing his retirement plan, and that his retirement plan was pretty close to his expectations and close to his risk score. His major concern, would he have enough cash? Because he, you know, he was hoping to work much longer, but obviously due to health reasons, that just wasn't going to be possible. He didn't want to outlive his assets, especially, you know, given the things he wanted to do. And he wanted to be able to do the things on his bucket list, and there was a whole list of them, and maintain the lifestyle that he had during his working career. The essential budget was $68,000, discretionary $45,000, which mainly was a lot of travel. His salary in his earnings as an attorney were $180,000 a year, creating surplus of almost $67,000. So basically earnings and things like that were not a problem. During retirement, his budget was going to be roughly about $65,000 for essentials, $43,000 discretionary, $108,000. His Social Security would be $22,000. His pension from the firm and a former firm were $25,000, which left a shortfall of $61,000. His residence was $700,000. The only liability he had was on his motorhome at $25,000. Tim's retirement plan was $985,000. His personal assets, investment assets, were $1.1 million, and precious metals and cash were $75,000. Total assets of $2,180,000. Total assets of $2.9 million. The issues that we were dealing with was managing cash flow, especially now because he was retiring much earlier than expected, creating enough income to balance his wants today with tomorrow's needs, and not running out of money. Tim's pension was $25,000. His Social Security was $22,000. And basically, the assets that we were managing were producing roughly about $67,000. We upped that a little bit more to over 3%. So they were close to $70,000. So the total income with pension and Social Security and investments was a little over $114,000. Less budget was $108,000. Surplus of roughly $6,400 a year. Now, to help manage cash flow needs, since Tim was retiring much earlier than anticipated, we recommend that he take Social Security immediately. I mean, because you don't know when you have diabetes, you've had a stroke, you don't know what your life expectancy. It's normally we would have people wait till full retirement age, get their full retirement benefit. Given his health issues, we recommended that he take Social Security immediately because of the shorter life expectancy, and we thought that was the best option. We advised him also to begin taking trips and doing many of the things on his bucket list while his health permitted him. We suggest that he work closely with us on the timing of his vacation so that in years with good market returns, we would be able to spend more. And in years of, let's say, bear markets, because we're going to be more defensive, the returns would be lower, he would need to spend less. So basically, we told Tim, look, Tim, we're going to have to manage your bucket list here, and especially as we're getting closer and closer towards the next bear market and recession. We also explained to him that he had enough in retirement assets to live comfortably throughout his retirement years. However, we also discussed with him the importance of updating his plan as life circumstances change, because we don't know. When you have diabetes, you run into all kinds of problems. Kidney, in Tim's case, he had a stroke. And we also clarified that he may have to have future alternatives like a reverse mortgage or other options if medical expenses were to increase substantially. Also gave him and told him to read several of the books of the authors that we've had on the show, and one that I'm going to be doing here shortly here with another doctor on diets that could help reverse his issues with his arteries and also with diabetes. And believe it or not, folks, you can reverse that with the proper diet, de-stressing. And in Tim's case, de-stressing meant retiring early because there was no way. I mean, basically, as the doctor said, you continue working these hours and the stress you're under, you're not going to be around much longer. So a lot of this stuff can be mitigated from stress to diet. Fortunately, we hope that Tim will live a long and very successful life, and especially if he makes the diet changes that I think he needs to do. I gave him a book that really I found very, very helpful that I've given to several clients that have had heart issues, and it's made a world of difference. And that's the books written by Joel Fuhrman and Dr. Gundry, who we hope to have here on the program shortly.
And what are we looking forward to over the horizon, Jim?
We're going to be covering Medicare, folks. And just a heads up, if you are turning 65, Medicare enrollment begins October 15th. So we're going to help guide you through that here in the next couple weeks to tell you the proper things to choose from, especially when you're choosing Medicare supplemental plans and what options may be best for you. But that's coming up here October 15th. We're going to cover those issues extensively with experts and do a couple shows on it so you make the proper decisions. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.